Hey, greetings, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast. We share the great and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from adversity and failure. I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. You want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the programs and product page and click on the Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing episode today? Joining me, I have the one and only Dr. Jennifer Bryant. How you doing?
I am great. I am great. Thank you so much for having me.
It is an honor and welcome to our podcast. It is truly an honor. So, Dr. Bryant, for the folks who may not necessarily know you out there, can you tell who you are or briefly who you are? And I think you have a book out there as well, right?
Yeah, I do. And so I tell folks that I am affectionately known as the fire igniter.
Wow. So, okay. I like
yes,
that.
Yes, the fire igniter. So okay. What I do is I help mid-level corporate women accelerate to the next level in their careers through leadership development and other professional and personal development. I'm a certified coach. I am also a multi-award winning coach and author. Yes. And so I have several books that are out there, but the my latest collaboration is called Step Into Leadership Greatness, Leaders Producing Leaders. This is volume two, as mentioned, where I take industry experts across the world to participate. Those with former military background, those with federal government, corporate, it's just all over. And I can't, can't wait, because it's a diverse set of skill sets and experiences that will be shared, along with stories. You know, we love stories.
Yes, absolutely. Can't do without the stories, but excellent. I love that. And for the folks who want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to reach out to you?
They can reach out to me on social media as Dr. Jennifer Jones Bryant. On Instagram is Reaching Within. And then my website is www.reachingwithinempowerment.com.
Oh, I love it. So she's made it very easy for you to contact her. You're looking for a coach, speaker. You got to make sure you reach out to her trainer. She's going to be the one who's going to help ignite your leadership to the next level. So take advantage of that. So, you know, Dr. Bryant, I appreciate you coming on our podcast. And as you know, our podcast centers on bringing amazing people like yourself on and have you kind of share your story about how you kind of made up one of your darkest valleys. And, you know, I had a chance to hear a little bit about one of your stories growing up as a teenager. That was pretty fascinated with, and really appreciate your courage for sharing it. Growing up with a mother who struggled with mental health challenges as well. So take us back to prior to you kind of coming to this realization as a teenager that this was taking place. What were some of the things that were taking place in the household? Walk us through that a little bit.
Sure, would be happy to do that. So what I will do, it actually started when I was five. Now I'm not gonna take you through from five to 52. Yeah. Now I'm not gonna do that. Yeah. But what I will hit some pivotal points as to what I believe was the impetus to her mental health challenges. And so I lost my dad I was five, he was one of the loves of her life. Mm-hmm. And he died an accidental death from a construction accident. And so she had a fifth grade education because she dropped out of school to help her parents with sharecropping.
Sure.
And so she moved to Maryland from South Carolina with my dad to get married. And so here she was trying to figure out, what do I do with my two children in a fifth grade education? And I worked inside the home. So she never had a job outside of the home. So she was trying to really figure this out. So it wasn't until, fast forward, when I was like a senior in high school, she got remarried. She dated a guy for a very long time, who's still here. He'll be 90 soon. Wow. My bonus dad. And wow. He and I partner on a lot of things. And it was when she got remarried, I started noticing odd behavior, like really odd behaviors. And so I talked to my bonus dad about that. I'm like, something is not right. Walked the floors all night long. It was hard for her to sleep. She would go outside walk around and at night outside. There was a time when she thought that she was pregnant with twins, and I forgot the term for it, but she actually started looking like she was. Wow. And then, you know, she got so depressed because she's like, oh, I lost my twins. I mean, it was a fully manifestation of a story that she thought she really, truly wore maternity dresses and everything. Then my mom always was one who was very polished, and she was no longer polished in terms of her attire, how she showed up. She didn't care. She always wore dresses and skirts and all of that. Pretty jewelry, like you see me with my, you know, my power jewelry. Absolutely. But she also thought that there was a mix of a schizophrenia that was there as well, because she thought she was a guy at one point, right? She actually put on jeans, blue jeans. My mom had never worn jeans or pants. Blue jeans and a, you know, white t-shirt and her mannerisms and all of that. I'm like, is this really happening? So I mentioned to my bonus dad is that we have to do something.
Yes.
We got to do something. And so, and then time went on, and one night it was around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I had my door shut because she, in her mind, thought I was trying to poison her. While cooking, right? So I would cook meals sometimes, and she said, you know, she threatened me, and she goes, if you try to kill me again, if you try to poison me again, I'm going to kill you. And she throws bullets against my door. And that changed my life forever. Yeah. And so I quickly left home, And so she, I went back to my bonus dad and said, I have to figure out what's happening. Yeah. And I need your support in doing that. Because he too didn't know what else to do. All he knew was to love her, like, but he didn't know what action to take. Neither did I. I'm 17, senior in high school, trying to figure it out. And I went, start talking to some people. And I went to the court system. I actually wrote my local congressional person. I didn't know that back then. I wrote my local congressional person, and they told me to go through the court system. Sure. And back then, you know, we have all this technology and everything. You had to really do the homework and right. actually walk around and do some things. So I went to the court system, filed an emergency petition. At 17 years old, that is incredibly hard to do. And whereby I had to stand before a judge to explain times where I felt like I was threatened.
Sure.
And so we went up. So I went up and did that, and they sent out a sheriff. And that was really, it was a very hard process to watch, because the sheriff, you know, came and grabbed her and, you know, put her in a car and took her down to get evaluated. And they held her for 2 weeks to get evaluated. And that's when we learned that she had bipolar and schizophrenia. Uh-huh. And it was extreme case of it, as the doctor said. Uh-huh. And so they medicated her. So she was, I won't say she was 100% with the medication, but she was so much better, right? Sure. But there were waves and cycles, because as soon as she thought she was good, she stopped taking her medicine. And then the cycle just kept going on and on and on from 17 to when she passed away suddenly over 10 years ago.
Wow.
So that's a long time. That was a long time.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Brian, I really appreciate your honesty and transparency and sharing that story as well. And my condolence for losing your mother as well. That's always difficult. You know, so I want to take you back to your senior year. You know, that's time in people's lives, young people's lives, where they're being influenced by a lot of social things. You're kind of worried about what your friends think a lot. And you're going through this situation. And I mentioned to you before we got on that I had cousins who went through a similar situation with their mom. And they got to a place where they actually despised their mother because some of the comments people were making, and we didn't get her diagnosed until later on in life, once they figured out what was going on. But you're getting this, you're going through this as a senior in high school. For the folks who may not necessarily know what that's like to live or deal with the person who's dealing with those mental health challenges, which they can't necessarily control, talk to us about the emotions and feelings that you had to deal with being a young lady at that time, highly influential time in your life, and you're seeing your mother struggle with what you don't even know what's going on.
So what I will say is that it was particularly tough emotionally. I cried a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't know that I was in the middle of trauma until I became a full adult, when I started going through my own therapy.
Sure.
And it was tough, and I hid it inside. Uh-huh. So I went to school and I buried myself in my studies. Uh-huh. That was my escape. So, you know, I was on honor roll, you know, and you know, I will work in the office, the school office, and help the secretary there. I tried to keep myself super busy to avoid what was happening. And my heart was hurting in the inside, because I would hear my fellow, you know, peers talk about time with their families and how they're doing this. And graduation time came around. I knew my mom wasn't going to be there. People were like, where's your mom? And I'm trying to figure out, okay, what's the answer? And I'm like, she's not feeling well, right? I would just make up excuses.
Right.
And it was tough. It was really, really tough. But the thing that I held on to that I didn't necessarily recognize it again until later in life is that I showed my mom unconditional love.
That's good.
There were times I was angry, like your family members, I was angry. But then I got to the point, I'm like, she's in pain, just like I'm in pain, she's in pain, but she's in a different type of pain. And unfortunately, she doesn't even know that she's not who she used to be. Yeah. And so when the doctor shared with me, like, this is the best that you're going to get, mm-hmm. that was hard news to receive. Yeah. And so I had to go back to my foundation, because my mom raised me in a Pentecostal church. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I had to pray my way through it. And it was so, so tough. Like I said, many tears, but I had a community, like my neighbors, adults, they kind of took me under their wings and try to offer me support as best they could, but they didn't understand it. Now, let me tell you who I really was angry with. And I had to forgive them. And in my adulthood were her siblings, was my family, because I felt like they could have been there more. But then I learned to forgive them because they didn't understand what was going on. I had to forgive those children, as you say, that teased her, that teased me, because they didn't understand what was happening. So I gave them grace and mercy in this instance, but it was very, 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 very painful. And I also recall when I left home immediately, I wanted to be near her. And I moved with an older guy who I saw as a father figure. He said, hey, you can come down here with me so you could be close to her, because they, you know, because of proximity. And then he violates me.
Wow.
Right. And so I had to quickly leave there and go move with my mom's sister. And so I had to catch the bus to school, the Metro bus here. And I worked at a fast food restaurant at night. And then I was still going to go check on my mom to make sure that she was okay, checking on my bonus dad, because he needed support too. Sure. So it was a lot. And then my brother was incarcerated as well, mm-hmm. my only sibling, because I think he was incarcerated twice. But those times when he was out, you know, it would be odd behavior towards him. Pulling a knife out on him and different things like that. And I had to explain to him, like, this is not the mom you knew. And it was tough. It was tremendously tough.
Again, I appreciate your honesty and transparency around that as well. And, you know, you're hearing all these, you, well, you're, you know, as you look back and see all these different things going on in your life, Were there any mentors or guides that you were able to turn to kind of give you a perspective on how to get beyond this situation as you were going through it?
So the mentors for this specific matter did not exactly come into play until I was riding the subway, going to a job interview. I was in my late teens and I actually was going to a job fair. And I bring this up because when people see others, and we kind of talked about this before our recording, is that people see folks who are successful, but they don't necessarily see the valleys that they've gone through, right? Or the tribulations that they've gone through. And I had lived a very, very long time where trauma and success coexisted.
Sure.
And I prefixed that because on that subway ride, a lady was sitting nearby me, and you know, I'm an extrovert. I talk to folks, right? And so I don't even remember what the conversation was, but I just know that it was a friendly conversation. Mm-hmm. And when I got to my stop, she asked me what my name was, and she told me hers. And she says, "Where are you going?" And I mentioned, because I remember this part of the conversation, I said, "I'm going to a job fair at the Stadium Armory." And she said, "Well, don't go to any other tables. I'm from the HR department at the Department of Treasury. You're
really?
Hired.
You're really? Hired. Really? Yeah. Wow.
So I love sharing that piece of the story because at a moment when I thought, ooh, I didn't know what my next steps were going to be, you know, God came right through. And that is the story behind my quote. Every now and then you may see me put this on social media. You are interviewing every day.
Yes.
Whether you realize it or not. So that's how, like, my career journey, yes, it has some low points, but it had many, many high points. And part of my high point was having an amazing supervisor who created a psychological safe place for me.
Yeah.
And I was able, because he noticed some days I wasn't like on top of my game. Or some days I needed to leave early because I'm getting a call from the property manager at the rental office saying, "Your mom is doing something weird," right? They'll tell me whatever it is. There was a period of time, Dr. Thomas, she was throwing money out the window, just throwing money out the window, right? And I had to leave work quickly, right, to see what's going on and file another emergency petition to get her picked up, right? And so once I told my supervisor what was going on, he was so empathetic. He was so empathetic. Mm-hmm. And I learned in the federal government about the employee assistance program. And through that, they then referred me to their therapy services and other services. And then I began to, as I grew my career, get mentors, as well as they were champions and advocates for me.
Yeah. And that's so powerful. And kudos to those folks who are serving as mentors and guides in your life. We got to have those folks, and especially those ones who have compassion and empathy for us who may be going through different things as well. You know, so as you look back on your darkest day, what kept you fighting and hanging in there and not giving up hope, whether it be with your mother or hope on yourself, hope in your situation? What kept you hopeful?
I think one was, again, being grounded in my faith.
Yeah, absolutely.
Being truly grounded in my faith. Love. Mm-hmm. The love piece, right? Mm-hmm. And then I felt like I was somewhat of an anchor for a family, right? Because I shared with you, I lost my dad at 5. My brother was incarcerated twice, and then my mom was going through what she was going through. And then my bonus dad, you know, he had his own, you know, things he had to deal with because he was an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic. And then he got that piece. He went cold turkey and oh my God, he's just amazing. But, you know, at that time, he also was trying to figure out, how can I help? How can I help? And he wasn't sure about what to do. So I felt like a huge weight was on me to get it right and to be able to help as much as possible.
Yeah, that's powerful. So as you look back today on that whole ordeal and that whole experience, how would you say it all shaped you as a person?
It shaped me as a person of how it shaped me. It was definitely a lot of lessons learned. Mm-hmm. That's why I share my story over and over, because I've made a lot of mistakes out of emotions, out of reactions. And and that has shaped me. And then again, the stories of mentors and sponsors being there beside me to say, I want to help you. Mm-hmm. And I recently went through an executive program. And it probably was about a month and a half ago where we had to do an exercise, which was so profound to me. And that exercise was to chart your journey line of successes and moments where you wouldn't consider, you know, a success. And on that line, that horizontal line, there were moments where I had lines up at the top for success at the same time for trauma, disappointments, and everything else. But what I walked away with was, wow, I didn't realize how much the two worlds of success and trauma coexisted at the same time. And I was able to bounce back and have resiliency. Because what I didn't share with you was, yes, I lost my mom over 10 years ago suddenly, but then I lost my only sibling, right? He had a good news of resiliency as well, because once he got out of prison, he did really well in his career. And I was very proud of him, a minister, all of that. Wow. But he, you know, at 49, he died from a heart condition. Wow. So I had to get my way through that, right? And then, you know, my first marriage, 18 years, that dissolved. Sure. Got remarried a couple of years ago, but it was a lot happening. But Dr. Tommy, I was getting promoted. I was, you know, it was so many wonderful things that were happening. And, but at the same time, I was kind of sad because my family wasn't there to see me.
Yeah, absolutely. I can definitely relate to that as well. And it takes a lot of courage to keep moving on in those moments as well. So, you know, Dr. Brown, as you look back and think about the folks where we've come from the last 2 years, we've had folks who are listening out there. They have lost loved ones. They've lost material possessions. They've lost finances. They lost jobs. They've even lost hope in some situations, Dr. Bryant. What words of advice can you give those folks out there to let them know that a brighter day is going to come? Talk to those folks, please.
Yes, a brighter day will come. And I've written articles about not giving up. Not giving up, igniting your fire within, right? Reaching within yourself to start off your day with gratitude. I don't care what it is. Like, you know, thank you, God, or whatever higher power you believe in. Thank you for this day. Reflect on those. Reflect on your wins. Celebrate those, no matter how small you think they are. If you walk down the street for 15 minutes, that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing. Like, the older you get, the better and longer you walk. It's all good.
Right. That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, reflect upon your family. Time is everything, right? Money is great, right? It gives you flexibility, but money is not everything. So reflecting on how best to utilize your time and be grateful for the time that you have here, and better will come. I spoke at our local television, WUSA 9, about resiliency in after a career setback.
Yes.
You can get back out there.
Yes.
You might have to re-engineer some things, rebrand your resume or whatever the case may be. But I promise you, there is some sunshine that's out there.
Yes. Well, wonderful words. Folks, I hope you guys have been inspired by the great story of Dr. Jennifer Bryant, amazing person. Dr. Bryant, once again, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
Social media, they can find me as Dr. Jennifer Jones Bryant. And then on Instagram, I am Reaching Within. And my website is reachingwithinempowerment.com. I offer a 15-minute discovery call to see how I can help you. And I also have on my website a goal setting handout that they can definitely, a guide that they can grab for free. So I'm definitely awesome. There for them.
Awesome. Reach out to her, take advantage of those resources and go out there and be great. So, you know, Dr. Bryant, we talked about some tough stuff. You ready to have a little fun?
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
So this portion of our show is called the Rapid Fire Purpose Questions. I'll ask you some questions about purpose. I want you to give me and your audience your most concise answer. Are you ready?
Uh-oh, I don't know.
All right, here we go. Tell us what gives your life meaning.
My family.
Yeah. What one word best describes you?
Authentic.
Yes. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
Getting people back to work.
Yeah. Good one. I like that. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Swim.
Okay, good.
I still do handstands. My husband is so fascinated by that.
Hey, I am too. I was never a good swimmer, so I'm fascinated with anyone who can swim, period. That's good. What do you wish you had more time to do?
Travel.
Yes. What does your 15-year-old self imagine that you would be doing right now?
Being a nurse.
Okay, that's good. All right, good. What inspires you the most?
My family.
Okay. What's something about yourself we might be surprised to learn about you?
Well, I talked about the handstand thing.
That's a good one there. That's a good one.
That's a good one. Trying to think. Oh, gosh. I just feel like I'm an open book. I don't know at this moment. I do have a 9-to-5 and I work at a Fortune 100 company.
There you go. That's good to know about her. So she's busy. She's very, very busy lady. Yes. What is on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Travel.
Okay. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Praying and giving great, giving my thanks to God.
Good. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you someday?
She was a legacy builder and a trailblazer.
Yes. What would your superpower be if you were a superhero?
Lifting others.
Okay, that's a good one. I like that. What sparks your creativity?
Closing a gap, solving a problem.
Okay, that's good. And Dr. Bryant, if you became president today, what law would you pass first?
Woo! Now that's it.
Let's see if you're going to get my vote. Let's see if you're going to get my vote out there. Let's see.
to send children to school for free, regardless of financial status.
Yeah, I love that. You get my vote on that one. I love it. Yes. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
I'm going to go retrospective on you. I would say Dr. Martin Luther King. I looked at him as a mentor, even in his death, and I studied his work.
Yes, that's a great pick there. Yeah. What's been the best gift someone's ever given you?
Love.
What's been the best compliment you've ever received?
Wow, I'm sitting here thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Inspiration, that I'm an inspiration.
Yeah, good. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Voice my opinion.
Okay, good. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
Being able to love my mom unconditionally.
Yeah, absolutely. Phenomenal. What does success look like for you?
That's relative. I always say that's relative. But for me is hoping that my children have seen me as one to have modeled the way for them. And that whenever they are in a situation they don't know what to do, that they will lean on their faith and they'll lean on the teachings that I've provided to them.
Yes, I love it. What are you most grateful for?
My life.
What's been the biggest lesson you have learned in life?
It's okay to fail. Mm-hmm. Failing is a lesson.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. That's a great one. And last but not least, Dr. Bryant, how do you want to be remembered in history?
As a trailblazer.
Yes. Good answer. You survived. Give yourself a round of applause, Dr. Bryant, Dr. Jennifer Bryant, folks. If you guys have been inspired by her story, what a great guest. Very, very fascinating story. Overcomer, doing great work out there as well. So, Dr. Bryant, as we're going to wrap things up, there's two things that our podcast really centers on. Purpose and resiliency. What last words can you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
Always go back to your big why. Always focus on your big why. Mine is to be a life, one of my mentors said this to me, to be a lifeboat to others.
Yes.
Rather than a life, to be a lighthouse for others rather than a lifeboat.
Yes.
And always as a life house is that I will always be standing here for others to equip them, to elevate them, to inspire them, to empower them, and advocate for them to get to their next level.
Yes. What a great, great person to follow, get some instruction from, let her guide you. Dr. Jennifer Bryant, folks, hope you guys have been inspired by her story. Hey, if you're someone out there, you have a great story of overcoming, we want to hear from you, please go to our website, tawatson.com, share with us your story, subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories, download this episode, rate it, share with your folks on social media. And everyone, I want to thank you all for joining us today and for tuning in. God bless, peace, and deuces, everyone.